This is an NPR News special. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Stunning results in Iowa last night. Signal victories for Barack Obama and Mike Huckabee. Stinging defeats for Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, and Mitt Romney. Fred Thompson, John McCain, and Ron Paul do better than expected. Joe Biden and Chris Dodd didn't and dropped out. Over the course of this hour, we'll try to figure out what happened at the caucuses and why. We'll talk with campaign strategists, with a candidate who survived a loss in Iowa to get his party's nomination anyway, and we'll look ahead to the next contest, next Tuesday in New Hampshire. And it's your chance to weigh in on the presidential campaign. How does Iowa change things? We have two phone lines today, one for Republicans, the other for Democrats. We apologize. We don't yet have a third line for independents. We're working on it. Independents should feel free to call either number. The Republican line, 800-344-3893. Again, for Republicans and independents, 800-344-3893. The number for Democrats, 800-344-3864. Again, for Democrats and independents, 800-344-3864. And everybody can send us email. The address is talk@npr.org. We begin with NPR's political editor, Kent Rudin, who's with us here in the studio. And thanks very much for being with us.
It's a great day.
So after, in the cold light of the day after, what was the biggest surprise to you?
Well, not so much that Barack Obama and Mike Huckabee won, because actually some polls thought they would win, and I thought they would win. But first of all, they won by larger margins than most people expected. Also, the fact that Hillary Clinton finishing third was pretty remarkable, even though it was not far behind John Edwards, but third nonetheless. And the fact that it was Barack Obama, not Hillary Clinton, who carried the women's vote. And I thought that was a big, big surprise. I don't think I saw that coming at all. Also, the fact that the turnout was huge, especially on the Democratic side. Democrats are very optimistic about regaining the White House in 2008. And the fact that they had a tremendous upsurge in turnout in yesterday from over basically by 100,000 more is probably good news for them.
I was going to say, I mean, the final number of Democrats is something around 240,000. That doesn't seem like an awful lot.
No, but the record was 4 years ago, 124,000. So certainly compared to what it was 4 years ago, that is a record. And of course, in the history of caucus states, there is that not much of a turnout. I mean, you have to be very committed, unlike a primary where you can just go in and vote and leave. There's not much effort or commitment made to a primary as it is to a caucus.
Didn't Republicans set a new record, too, for turnout?
They did certainly better than they did the last competitive one, which was in 2000. I think they came close to the record, which was in 1988, which was about 108,000, something like they did now. But certainly they didn't have the enthusiasm, the kind of emotion that they had, the Democrats had.
Another interesting number was the number of first-time caucus goers. These tend to be almost professional participants who go year after year after year. A majority this time around were first-timers.
Yes, and a lot of them voted for Barack Obama, and you kind of didn't expect first-timers to make a difference, because what John Edwards had going for him was the fact that people who've been involved in the system before, people who perhaps supported John Edwards 4 years ago when he finished a strong second in Iowa, those returning caucus goers were expected to be the defining group of voters who would make the difference in Iowa. But the fact that so many new folks turned out was part of the process that nobody ever saw coming.
Conventional wisdom also took a hit last night. Among the conventional truths that we were supposed to believe about Iowa was that young people, though they may be enthused enough to come to rallies, don't turn out to vote.
Yes, and they did turn out in caucuses. That's absolutely true. Young people usually do not turn out in Iowa caucuses. So it did throw conventional wisdom on its side. But also, another conventional wisdom did bore out in the fact is that folks in Iowa say over and over again they do not like negative campaigning. And a lot of people felt that what Mitt Romney, the kind of campaign he ran against Mike Huckabee and to a lesser extent John McCain, and to some extent the campaign that Hillary Clinton ran against Barack Obama, the negative attacks, the assaults on that may have backfired.
We're talking with NPR's political editor Ken Rudin. This is an NPR News special on the Iowa caucuses. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. Republicans and independents, 800-344-3893. Democrats and independents, 800-344-3864. And let's get Andy on the line. Andy's calling us from Des Moines, Iowa.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm driving on Interstate 80. I'm a civics teacher from Adlai Stevenson High School in the Chicago area. and I observed the Council Bluffs Caucus last night.
And what did you see?
Well, I was in both Democratic and Republican caucuses. I saw that Obama picked up most of the independent supporters from the Dodd supporters and the Biden supporters and Richardson. And in the Republican side, it was really interesting how Romney dominated throughout western Iowa.
Romney dominated in western Iowa.
And that was my question. I looked at the Iowa Republican map of the caucus results. It looked like Governor Romney did very well along the rivers, the Missouri River in the west and the Mississippi in the east. But Governor Huckabee dominated central Iowa. Is Iowa a microcosm for U.S. politics now?
What do you think, Ken Rudin?
Well, that's interesting. Actually, the western part of Iowa has always been the strongest Republican region in the state. And the fact is, Romney, we always talked about that he had a strong organization. He had certainly a lot of money. A lot of it came coming out of his own pocket. He spent over $7 million there. The feeling was that he has worked and massaged and was toiled in the fields of Iowa for a better part of a year. He had this in the bag. It was almost like this was going to be the start of a ultimate run to the nomination. But it changes everything. I think the fact is, we saw this also with Pat Robertson's supporters in 1988. A lot of voters that people never saw before. They came out of the woodwork. They came out of the pews. They came out of homeschooling networks. It was not a vote that many people saw coming. Certainly not for somebody like Mike Huckabee, who, as I said, not long ago was an asterisk.
And Andy, let me ask you, as a visitor to an Iowa caucus and not an Iowan yourself, is this something that you would recommend they pick up back home? I guess Andy's left us. Anyway, we thank him for his call. Again, the numbers are 800-344-3893 for Republicans and Independents. For Democrats and Independents, 800-344-3864. And let's go to Tom. Tom's with us from Aberdeen, South Dakota.
Hey, thanks for having us on. And being a Democrat stuck in a red state like South Dakota, that shares similar demographics to Iowa in our population makeup, it sure was wonderful to see Barack Obama with his victory over Hillary and over Senator Edwards. I'm certain, and a lot of people up here are ready for a change. We're tired of being ignored by candidates from both coasts.
But the remarkable thing to you was the support for Barack Obama?
Oh, absolutely. It's fantastic to see a Barack rise up as a new leader in our nation and to be able to come up with a victory over some of the candidates who have been ingrained in politics seemingly forever.
And Ken Rudin, this is a real signal change, a African-American candidate, not a candidate of protest, a front runner.
Right. I mean, obviously, he did not run as an African-American. He happened to be an African-American. But I think when Barack Obama was talking about change, he was not only talking about the last 7 years of the Bush administration, but also a change from Hillary Clinton, who, after all, is 60 years old, has been in Washington for quite some time, not just in the Senate, but as First Lady for a while. And she suddenly became, even though she was a history maker in her own right, she became the establishment, and Barack Obama became the agent of change.
Thanks very much for the call, Tom.
Thank you.
And it's fair to say, though, isn't it, that there was a change voted for on the Republican side, too. Mike Huckabee is certainly not your traditional candidate.
No, not at all. I mean, he was looked at as an oddity for the longest time. I think the only time we paid attention to him is because he was very affable and likable and funny in the debates. But more and more voters were flocking to him as Mitt Romney became more and more negative, as the conservative bona fides of many of the Republican candidates, John McCain, Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, were exposed. Then came along Mike Huckabee, who, after all, was a Baptist minister.
Let's get another caller in. This is Kathy calling from Denver on the Republican line.
Hi, this is Kathy. And I would just say that when I watched the debates last night, you know, when Mike Huckabee did his speech, you know, he was talking about, you know, forgiving people and loving people down below. And my concern, being a Republican, is that Mike Huckabee is an evangelical person, and to me that's too extreme. We need more of a centrist in a Republican instead of a far right person that he represents. The country needs to heal, and I think the reason why people are going to somebody like Barack Obama is because he is more in the center. He's not as far left as John Edwards, and I think big business is afraid. And I just think that Mike Huckabee, you know, he's a good man and everything, but I don't think that he's going to be a great world leader if he says that people have to be forgiven and loved. I don't think that's practical in our world, and I think he's too polarizing.
Kathy, would you vote for him if he were the Republican nominee?
No, I would vote for Barack Obama.
If he were the Democratic nominee, but this is just on, based on last night's results, still a long way to go. But thanks very much for the call. And Mike Huckabee certainly has we'll be talking more about this later in the program, but certainly has a ways to go. New Hampshire, a very different place than Iowa.
Absolutely, especially on the Republican side. 60%, if you looked at the entrance polls in Iowa yesterday, 60% of the Republicans identify themselves as evangelicals. That's not the case in New Hampshire. More secular state, far more independents vote in Republican primaries, and the Republican Party itself is far more moderate.
And just to remind ourselves just how long we have to go, a Democratic candidate will need 2,026 delegates at the convention in Denver, Colorado, next summer to win the nomination. And according to an Associated Press analysis, last night Barack Obama won 16 delegates in Iowa, Hillary Clinton won 15, and John Edwards snagged 14. So, but is this in any way about delegates, at least this early in the race?
Absolutely not. Matter of fact, it won't be about delegates. Once upon a time, when there were fights at the convention, when candidacies went all the way to the convention, you think of 1980 with Ted Kennedy and President Carter, but for the most part, these nominees are going to be decided well in advance, perhaps as early as February 5th. So these delegate numbers, whatever Iowa means, what the numbers mean, what New Hampshire delegates mean, it really means it's all about momentum and headlines and onto the next state.
But and fundraising,
and
too.
Exactly, fundraising. Because you think of John Edwards, I mean, he doesn't have the money that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton has, and the fact that he didn't win the state that he needed to win. Where does he raise the money? Who supports him in subsequent states?
Stay with us, Ken Rudin. It was an exciting and enthusiastic night in Iowa, record turnout and a few surprises. Coming up, we'll talk to strategists on both sides, Republican and Democrat, and we'll take more of your calls. Remember, we're splitting our lines today. If you're a Republican or an independent, 800-344-3893. Democrat or independent, 800-344-3864. I'm Neil Conan. Stay with us. It's an NPR News special on the Iowa caucuses. This is an NPR News special. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. It was a big night in Iowa for Barack Obama and Mike Huckabee, and a tough one for Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, and Mitt Romney. We're going over all the results with NPR's political editor and NPR's political junkie, Ken Rudin, and we're taking your calls. We're using split phone lines today. If you're a Republican or independent, 800-344-3893. Democrat or independent, 800-344-3864. Again, for Republicans, 800-344-3893. For Democrats, 800-344-3864. Let's bring in two people who have a lot of experience running presidential campaigns and advising candidates. Mike Murphy was a senior strategist for Senator John McCain during his presidential bid in 2000. He joins us today from the studios of WGBH in Boston. Mike Murphy, nice to speak with you again.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
And Bill Carrick was a campaign manager for Democratic presidential candidate Richard Gephardt in 1988. He's with us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Nice to have you as well.
Great to be here.
And Mike Murphy, let's turn to you first. Huckabee's win notwithstanding, is it possible the true winner might have been John McCain?
Well, I think it was good for McCain because it damaged Romney, who's his big opponent in New Hampshire. McCain, in the recent round of polling, public polling anyway, has been doing better and better here. I think he's got a little of the magic back. But I think there's a tendency in the Republican world to only see Mike Huckabee as a catalyst, when in fact, I think he's a real contender for the nomination now. He performs beyond the normal Christian base vote. He's definitely got weaknesses. He hasn't raised a lot of money. He isn't as well known. But the momentum bounce from Iowa, I think, makes it kind of a 2.5-way race now. You've got John McCain on the ascendancy in New Hampshire. You got Huckabee coming out of that conservative position. If the election were held today, he'd win South Carolina. And I think in a couple of days, he might get himself into second in New Hampshire. And then you finally have Mitt Romney, who has money, resources, and is a good, pretty good candidate, but has to win fast or it's all going to, you know, go quite badly for him.
I was just going to ask, is New Hampshire it for Mitt Romney? If he doesn't win there, is he on a slide?
Well, I think he'd be in big trouble. I think Michigan is a state he has history in, so I think Romney would probably be looking at the 1 week between the New Hampshire Tuesday and the Michigan Tuesday, knowing he has to win at least one and probably both of those to really get going.
And Bill Carrick, again, pointing to Barack Obama's big win. Any silver linings at all for either Hillary Clinton or John Edwards?
You know, I don't really see any. I think the truth is all the demographics that favored Senator Obama in Iowa are multiplied in New Hampshire. There are more independents. Independents are half the voters in New Hampshire, and there'll be more younger voters. So if anything, Obama is going into even more favorable territory, so it'll be tough. I think what we may see in New Hampshire on the Democratic side, reminiscent of a campaign I was involved in 1988, was Obama's runaway with the victory there, and Hillary Clinton and John Edwards have a really tough fight for second place to be a survivor.
In New Hampshire?
Yes, in New Hampshire. I think it's going to be, you know, Simon and Gephardt got in a real dogfight in 1988 to see who could finish second to Governor Dukakis, Gephardt did by 2 points, and that turned out to be the real action in the Democratic primary, the race for second. And we may see something very similar to that this time. The race for second may determine who's going to be the survivor who goes on.
Here's an email question from Maxwell in Davidson, North Carolina. Wasn't the youth vote supposed to make a huge difference in 2004? Their support was seen as necessary for Dean and later Kerry, yet it wasn't enough. They came out in record numbers, but so did everybody else. So will Obama's youth support help him along the line and in November? I wonder, Bill Carrick, what you think?
You know, I think if you're a chairman of the Democratic Party, which ironically Howard Dean is now, you look at Obama's profile, the voter profile he's attracting, and you have to be very encouraged. His appeal to independents is very good for a general election. His crossover Republican appeal is very good. We heard from Kathy on the phone today calling in the show talking about she would vote for Obama over Huckabee as a Republican. I think there's and the energizing younger voters, that's all good stuff for a general election. So there's for Democrats who are looking to the general election, there's a lot of good things about Barack Obama.
Well, let's get another.
Well, one of the interesting things in Iowa was in the day or two before the election, I was out there and I talked to some friends of mine who are operatives of the different campaigns. And one thing that they all thought Obama was going to win big. And one thing that puzzled them or was interesting to them was that in the phoning that the Republican campaigns were doing to historical Republicans, identifying people for the Republican caucus, they were picking up Obama supporters. Republicans were going to vote and were going to caucus for Obama, which was quite surprising. But I think if you look at the numbers, there was clearly some crossover for him.
Let's get Jack on the line. Jack's calling us from Charlotte, North Carolina, on the Republican line.
Yes, thanks for taking the call. I'm really excited about the results from last night because as a Republican who's voted for George Bush in the past, I have actually found myself very attracted to the message that Barack Obama is bringing. I also like Huckabee because he represents the conservative values without making it so polarizing. And I think that's what's being underestimated by some of the pundits out there today is just how serious the American voter is about wanting to move away from the polarization and the infighting that has characterized Washington for so many years now. And both Huckabee and Obama really represent that uniting perspective well. So I got to tell you that as a conservative Republican who's been very unhappy with the extreme views from both parties, that I am finding candidates like Huckabee and Obama very appealing. And I have to admit, I don't know if it really came down to these two guys. I'm not sure who I'd vote for because I think Barack is really demonstrating a message that will draw people from the right. I think you'll see a lot more young people coming out for this election. And the last thing I want to say, and I'd love to hear your comments off the air, is when Oprah Winfrey came out to endorse Barack, it was said, well, you know, Hollywood celebrities don't usually end up having that much weight when they endorse somebody. But, you know, Oprah Winfrey is not Brad Pitt. She's somebody who's demonstrated a real interest and dedicated her life to, you know, trying to make people's lives better. So when somebody of her caliber comes out and endorses a Barack Obama, I don't think it's your typical Hollywood endorsement. I think Barack has a lot of momentum. I think Huckabee is going to surprise the Republican Party. I'd love to hear your comments on this off the air.
It's not a typical Chicago endorsement either, which is where she's from. But Mike Murphy, he seems to be making your point for you.
Well, I just think that Barack at this stage, campaigns are not linear. They're logarithmic, and a lot has yet to happen. People don't know much about Mike Huckabee. Economically, he's not really in sync with most Republicans. Barack is the star of the moment, and I think a very attractive candidate. Republicans ought to take him very seriously, but there's a whole lot yet to happen. And as for, I kind of agree about Oprah Winfrey because she's sort of a huge mega brand beyond normal stuff, but no endorsements that particularly powerful. Endorsements are a symptom of success, and I think hers was. Barack, in a change election, is a very strong change candidate, and that ultimately proved to be more important than all the campaigning and all the mechanics put together. Witness the, you know, unsinkable Hillary Clinton now, I think, 4 days away from losing the nomination when Barack beats her in New Hampshire.
I think the one thing we can say about yesterday's results in Iowa, you know, both parties screamed the status quo must go. It was a big change election, and I think Mike Huckabee and Barack Obama are a reflection of what your caller talked about, is people want something different. They want somebody who's not part of the inside the beltway bickering that we see so often nowadays. And I think that's the real powerful message for both those candidates. And it's going to be hard to I agree with Mike. I don't think Huckabee can be underestimated as a real candidate. He's not a niche candidate. He is really taken off.
Ken Rudin?
Ken Rudin here. One of the questions, one of the things that always seemed to unite the Republican Party, at least the Republican candidates this year, was the prospect of running against Hillary Clinton. Would it be tougher for the GOP to run against Barack Obama? Is it a different strategy completely?
You know, it's interesting. I've been kind of an Obama bull for a long time. I predicted he'd be the nominee a year ago. People wanted to put me in a straitjacket. And most of my Republican friends would say, oh, you're crazy. Hillary's tough, smart, the Clinton machine. We want Obama. And I've always thought Obama was their strongest candidate because in a change election, he is a very strong change candidate. So my view, which is I don't think a majority view among the consultant types on the Republican side, though it may be changing rapidly, is that Obama is indeed a very formidable general election candidate.
Bill Carrick, let me ask you, Mr. Obama has yet to be the recipient of a sustained negative campaign. That prospect is vanishing quickly. It's likely that beginning this weekend in the debate in New Hampshire, either Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, or both will go after him. We don't know, of course, how he'll respond, but is that going to make a big difference?
Well, you know, I think we're going to see that. You know, we're going to see a much tougher campaign in New Hampshire than we saw in Iowa. There's whether it's myth or not, there is the belief that Iowans don't like negative and people stay away from it. And I think in New Hampshire, we're probably going to see paid TV that's negative, and we'll probably have a real rough and tumble debate in both parties. So that'll be a test for Barack Obama, how he handles it. It'll also be a test for his opponents because, you know, oftentimes, as Mike and I know very well, that people overdo stuff and it backfires on them. And we may see, candidate A attacks candidate B and it helps candidate C phenomena. You know, there's very often the case in these multi-candidate races. So that is a speed bump on doing negative because the candidate you may help may not be you.
And there's also no time. The new calendar is so compressed that instead of having a week or 10 days or 20 days to grind away, you've got 4 days. And that is, in the world of paid media, advertising, very, very little time to have any impact. This thing is mostly driven by earned media, and it's very hard to carry a negative message again and again and again in the earned media without paying a huge price and pushback.
Let's get another caller on. This is Mark. Mark with us from Denver on the Democratic line.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is what are John Edwards' liabilities in terms of this theme of change? And let me just briefly explain what I'm wondering about. Before the election, or before the caucus, a supporter of John Edwards was apologetic because she was supporting him, but he's a man where there's a woman and a black man running. And I'm wondering, is that really what the problem is in terms of John Edwards' liabilities?
Bill Carrick?
You know, that is an interesting cultural phenomenon with John Edwards. We saw it yesterday in the Iowa caucuses. Conservative voters inside the Democratic nomination universe, they tend to support John Edwards because they hear a Southern accent and they assume that he's a moderate to conservative Democrat. As we know, his message is very populist and has in some ways been the most liberal message out there, the top-tier candidates. But, you know, culturally, he still is a Southerner to many voters. And I think the transition from Iowa populace to New Economy New Hampshire is very difficult for him. He didn't do well there in 04, and he hasn't polled well in the early polling in New Hampshire. So New Hampshire's a tough state for him. He would like to survive New Hampshire so he can go home to South Carolina and try to win there as he did in 2004.
Yet that's not likely to be easy with, again, both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
A very difficult trick.
Yeah, he's a dead cat bouncing. He doesn't know he's dead yet, but he is.
And he has money problems that the other two don't have. He's in the public financing system. He has limits. It's tougher. Senator Obama and Senator Clinton are going to have a lot of money. And I always believe nobody really quits a presidential campaign. They just run out of money.
Mark, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking with consultants Mike Murphy, a senior strategist for Republican presidential candidate John McCain in 2000, Bill Carrick, who was a campaign manager for Democratic presidential candidate Representative Richard Gephardt in 1988. Also with us, Ken Rudin, NPR's political editor. And you're listening to an NPR News special. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Pierce. Pierce with us from Henderson, North Carolina.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to call and just register that I am somewhat surprised and disappointed at the outcome of the Republicans in the Iowa caucus. I am a log cabin Republican, which is the Republican Party for gay and lesbians. And I was very surprised to see Huckabee come out on top, because everyone keeps talking about this being a change election, you know, where so many people want to move away from Bush and Reagan-style politics into something very new, and just seeing how that message has been carried by Obama, especially, and also Hillary Clinton, and just seeing how much of the country wants to change, I am amazed that Huckabee, as such a staunch, you know, very far-right religious conservative, came out on top.
Get your response to that, Mike Murphy?
Well, change is in the eye of the beholder. I agree with Bill Carrick's idea that Huckabee is an atypical candidate, which is kind of how change is expressed for him. The truth is he is not really an arch conservative at all in economics. He's more of a protectionist. He's in many ways a populist liberal on economic issues, while at the same time more of an authoritarian on social issues. He's very conservative on all that. The Iowa caucus on the Republican side has a pre-built vote of 40 to 50,000 people who are very strong social conservatives. So Huckabee was essentially born on second base in that campaign when he became really the leading social conservative. That said, his performance skills and communication skills took him beyond that vote to a pretty big win. And the question is, can he now run the table in the rest of the primaries and start winning other places? I thought it was very indicative that on his speech, he really did a wider message, a little more economic message, clearly repositioning himself to compete as a more traditional Republican conservative in the upcoming primary, starting with New Hampshire, which is much less socially conservative. So normally I would say the social conservative guy who can win Iowa doesn't go very far, but I think Huckabee's skills may give him a little bit more of an advantage and a little bit more of an opportunity. I do think right now the guy holding the best cards is probably John McCain, who can win New Hampshire, surge through Michigan, and the regulars will then unite behind him. Don't underestimate the problem Huckabee has, and that the finance leadership elite of the Republican Party, which doesn't have a lot of votes but controls a lot of money, is very afraid of Huckabee as a general election candidate, because they think he's a stone-cold loser in a general election. And I think you will see whoever wins the New Hampshire primary who's not Mike Huckabee, either Romney or McCain, or maybe in some miracle somebody else, there will be a falling in behind them quickly of the party regulars and the finance crowd, and they will be a very funded non-Huckabee challenger all the way through.
And let me ask you to this, Bill Carrick, an email from Mary. Why is it surprising Obama got the women's vote? Iowans haven't ever put a woman in public office.
You know, there's a statistic that kicks around that's kind of a bogus thing, which is that Iowans have never voted for women nobody has been elected to Congress, Senate, or governor. You know, the last four Iowa lieutenant governors have all been women from both parties, and the Democratic Party in Iowa has nominated two women in recent history as their nominee for governor. So I don't really buy this argument. I think it's a contrived argument. It's kind of an excuse. The truth is, I'm like Ken. I'm very surprised at that number. I saw it. We saw it at the end as the polls tightened. We saw that the number that got very close was women voters between Obama and Senator Clinton. And the fact that he won women voters by 5 points is remarkable. You know, going into this, we thought, well, Barack Obama's going to do very well with voters who are under 30. And, of course, he did. But, you know, it wasn't 18 to 25-year-olds that were his strength. It was 18 to 65-year-olds. It was a huge, huge part of the electorate, male and female. Age was a more defining thing than gender in the Iowa caucuses yesterday.
And the media, I'm sorry, 57% of those who went to the Democratic caucus were women. 56% of those who went to the Republican caucus were men. Also interesting. Thanks to Bill Carrick and Mike Murphy for their time. Stay with us. Coming up, we'll look at the effect of Iowa's results on the New Hampshire primary just 4 days from now, plus a look back and forward with former Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis. I'm Neil Conan. This is an NPR News special. This is an NPR News special. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Less than 24 hours after the Iowa caucuses, the presidential campaigns have relocated to New Hampshire. Their first-in-the-nation primary is just 4 days away. We want to hear what's on your mind after Barack Obama and Mike Huckabee took the Iowa caucuses. How does that change things in New Hampshire? We're using split phone lines today, the Republican line and Independents too. 800-344-3893. For Democrats, it's 800-344-3864. Email, well, that's available to everybody. talk@npr.org. And let's begin with an email, this from Jill in Iowa. I registered people at my caucus last night. There were 600 people, twice as many as ever before. We ran out of new voter registration forms and had to go begging extra from the Republicans who were caucusing in the cafeteria. A wild night. Well, joining us now is Arnie Arneson. She is the host of a radio and TV program on politics and was a Democratic member of the New Hampshire House of Representatives for 8 years. She joins us from the studios of New Hampshire Public Radio in Concord. Nice to have you with us today.
It's a pleasure, Neil. I think the word is the front page of the Boston Herald today. Shazam is the headline on the Boston Herald, which I think says it all, including your emailer.
I was going to say, is that kind of excitement that we heard about from that emailer in Iowa, is that evident in New Hampshire?
Oh, absolutely. I think the irony here, though, is they had the headline Shazam, and then they had the picture of Mike Huckabee, who's really saying Shazam is John McCain, because this is exactly what he was hoping for. He played his cards right. And Mitt Romney, who spent so much money, 8 to 10,000 commercials, millions of dollars, now looks like he's incredibly vulnerable in the state of New Hampshire.
Well, here's an email just on that point from Craig in Park Forest, Illinois. Since independents can vote in the New Hampshire primary, will Obama's win in Iowa and subsequent momentum as the change candidate wind up hurting John McCain?
Actually, it would have, but for what happened to Mitt Romney. The fact that Mitt Romney could be defeated by a guitar-playing, weight-losing, delightful governor from, you know, Arkansas who spent peanuts indicates that there's a real vulnerability, that you can't buy campaigns in Iowa, you can't buy campaigns in New Hampshire. McCain is the only one left standing. Someone said he was like a phoenix coming out of the ashes, and I turned to them and I said, I don't think so. I think the ash pile is just bigger than everything else around in the state of New Hampshire. So the person who's really happy about this is John McCain. He's not going to need the independent vote because I think with Obama's win in Iowa, the independents are going to stay with what change is, and change is Barack Obama. They don't want a Hillary Clinton. They really want to see something different. They've been tending Democratic anyway, and when they look in the Democratic direction, the candidate they want to embrace is the one that just won in Iowa.
And what about the person who finished second on the Democratic side in Iowa, John Edwards?
John Edwards. Can I share a story with you?
Sure.
I talked to some friends last night who were big Edwards supporters. But when they realized how successful Barack Obama was in Iowa, that he really did everything he was supposed to do, that this was his virgin race, you know, the new race in Iowa, and he wasn't supposed to beat the inevitable, not only did he win, but he won at every single standard. He stepped across every bar. They suddenly realized that if they had any hope of stopping Hillary Clinton, it was not going to be with Senator John Edwards. It was going to be with Barack Obama. He has the money. He's not burdened with public financing. He has national and international name recognition, and this ultimately is about change in November of 2008, and they don't believe that John Edwards can actually produce that.
Let me go back to the Republican side for just a moment. New Hampshire, of course, famously the live free or die state. Ron Paul did surprisingly well in Iowa, 10%. He's got a lot of money and a lot of appeal, you would think, to some in New Hampshire.
Have you been around the Ron Paul people? I mean, they don't, he doesn't have supporters. He has missionaries. The problem right now is Ron Paul is really ticked off because on Sunday night, Fox is having, I don't know what it is, some kind of conversation or debate, and they have decided that Ron Paul and Duncan Hunter may not participate in that conversation.
I have to correct you. I think Ron Paul is part of that. We got a lineup that includes Ron Paul, six Republicans altogether.
Giuliani, Huckabee,
McCain, Paul, Romney, and Thompson.
Well, that's what people were saying. I mean, he registered double digits in Iowa. He beat Rudy Giuliani in Iowa. And we had heard as of this morning that he wasn't going to participate in the debate. Obviously, the fact that he's done what Republicans are supposed to do, raise lots of money. Now he's actually garnered the votes. I am pleased to see that he'll be there. I think he will be a force to be reckoned with. Don't expect a first. Don't expect a second. But he could be a possible play for third in New Hampshire, which would be remarkable.
Let's see if we can get some more callers on the line, and let's go back to the Republican line. This is Chris. Chris with us from Annapolis, Maryland.
Hi, Neil.
Hi,
nice
Chris.
To hear you as always.
Thank you.
I just had a brief question regarding Fred Thompson. Speaking of garnering votes with small dollars spent, I watched last night on both MSNBC and C-SPAN as well, and did not see Ron Paul get any play. I got more comments similar to what was said by your previous guest. About a 2.5-horse race with Mitt Romney and Mr. Huckabee and a distant John McCain interjecting where appropriate. And I'm wondering why that is. I didn't see anyone even speak to anyone in his camp.
Are you talking about Ron Paul or Fred Thompson? You've mentioned both names.
I'm talking about Fred Thompson.
Okay.
And speaking with his people, there seems to be a lot of support in the less socially conservative areas, and I'd like to see what your other guest has to say about that, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks very much for the call, Chris. Arnie Arneson, Fred Thompson in New Hampshire.
Fred Thompson doesn't have a pulse in New Hampshire. And let me tell you why. Andy Smith, who's a UNH Survey Center head, he's a pollster, did a poll. And it turned out when they were asking Republicans what they thought of the candidates, Ron Paul was not liked by the largest number of Republicans. 61% never wanted to see him become president of the United States. Who came in second, however, was Fred Thompson, I think at a whopping 49%. Fred Thompson has never showed up here. He's been a shadow of him, of his former self. He will not track in New Hampshire. I think John McCain has replaced anything that Fred Thompson might have had in New Hampshire. I think Mike Huckabee has done a remarkable job in Iowa, but this is a very libertarian state. We don't buy into big government or big church. So Huckabee is using New Hampshire more as a platform for free national media than really as a place to organize and get votes. This is going to be a McCain-Mitt Romney conversation on Tuesday.
And what about somebody on the order of, well, Mitt Romney, is he going to be there as the favorite son? He was, of course, governor of the neighboring state of Massachusetts.
Well, Channel 9 may think he's a favorite son. They've seen about 8,000 to 10,000 ads that are, you know, that have come out as a result of it. I don't think that he's going to be perceived as a favorite son. A Republican consultant I know described his campaign as being a mile wide and a centimeter deep. That's not going to be helpful. Again, it's a very corporate campaign. It was very market money driven, but it wasn't ideologically driven. Nobody got excited around Mitt Romney. John McCain has rehabilitated his campaign in New Hampshire, the place where he won 3 out of 4 independent votes, the place where he won close to 3 out of 4 Republican votes in 2000. He's got personality. He's got stature. Obviously, things are looking better with the war in Iraq, so that makes him look better. And then what happened with Benazir Bhutto reminds everyone that you want someone who has the composure and, I think, the gravitas of a John McCain. That's Mitt Romney's problem. And then to look at what happened in Iowa, it is so not explainable given the time and energy and money. And I think as a result, I go back to that Boston Herald headline, Shazam! And it shouldn't be Mike Huckabee. It should be John McCain, who has to be smiling right now.
Let's get Ruth on the line. Ruth calling us on the Democratic line from Palos in Illinois.
Hello?
Ruth, you're on the air. Go ahead,
yes,
please.
Thank you. I have a question about the young people who voted in Iowa, and I would really be curious as to their initial residency, because I sent my son to school in Iowa, and I live very close to Mr. Obama, and I think there are many students who came from Illinois and Indiana and changed their registration to be part of this, which is a good thing, but it also skews the image of what is going on. And I think if Hillary does not go negative, she will ultimately end up where she should be. I've also heard Mr. Obama change his discussions depending on the group of people he's in front of, and I really want someone who's authentic and does not play to different people, who really says what he means in front of all groups of people. And I was raised in the 60s. I'm excited that young people are excited and getting out there, but I think we should really look at where it's coming from. And I think the press is not asking Mr. Obama the hard questions where we need to hear those answers.
Well, Ken Rudin, let me ask you first about that youth in Iowa part of Ruth's call. There was a controversy in Iowa after Barack Obama openly appealed to out-of-state students studying in Iowa to register and caucus.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he won so convincingly and won over so many demographics and all across the state, it's hard to make the case that out-of-state students is really what made called it for Obama. But it's clear that students who have out-of-state students who attend college in Iowa did show up, did show in far number, more bigger numbers than expected, and did vote for Obama. As far as the hard questions, I mean, as far as Obama saying different things to different audiences, well, that's been the criticism of Hillary Clinton for the longest time, that, you know, she had to have it two ways on illegal driver's license for illegal aliens, things like that. So the same criticism you leveled against Barack Obama, I think, had been leveled against Hillary Clinton for much of the campaign.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Isn't it true that about 80% of the college students in Iowa are from Iowa anyway? So it's not a huge number of students from out of state that are actually going to school in Iowa. My daughter went to the University of Iowa. Talk about feeling isolated coming from New Hampshire. She felt like she was from the North Pole. So I do think that that's really not the issue. The more remarkable thing is to realize that 60% of the caucus goers were new to this caucus. How exciting to invite people in.
And Arnie Arneson, let me ask you also this question, again following up on Ruth. She mentioned if Hillary Clinton does not go negative, that she should come out fairly well. Is Hillary Clinton going negative, and especially in that debate that's coming up this weekend? We mentioned six Republicans, four Democrats, Edwards, Obama, Clinton, and Bill Richardson.
Well, Hillary Clinton is not going to have time to run a negative campaign. It is too quick. I mean, all we're doing is talking about Iowa today, and all we'll be doing on Tuesday is voting. So there really isn't much time for people to pay attention to a paid media strategy. However, everyone will be watching the debate on Saturday night. So there's no question that, you know, she can do some kind of damage. I think the real problem is that Hillary Clinton is the incumbent in this race. She has run in New Hampshire three times. Bill and Hill ran in 92. Bill and Hill ran in 96. Bill and Hill are running again in 2008. Someone suggested to me that they hope that exactly what happened in 1992 happens again. And what you saw in 1992 was that we had the highest voter turnout in primary history. 396,000 voters came in, and Bill Clinton came in second. So if we see 2008 being a huge voter turnout, they're predicting over 400,000, and Hillary Clinton comes in second, it'll be a similar story, very different result.
Thanks very much for the call, Ruth. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking with Ken Rudin, NPR's political editor, and with Arnie Arneson, host of the New Hampshire radio talk program Chowder in the Morning, and you're listening to an NPR News special. And as we mentioned, all of the presidential candidates left Iowa, those still in the race, left Iowa last night and headed for New Hampshire. And here's a little bit of what they had to say today.
And in New Hampshire, if you give me the same chance that Iowa gave me last night, I truly believe I will be the president of the United States of America.
We have 4 days, 4 days in New Hampshire to decide what fighter we're going to send into that arena to be the next president of the United States.
So I'd love to come in first here in New Hampshire. We got a home in New Hampshire. I've got a lot of friends here, and obviously I'm hoping to get a bit of a home guy, hometown push.
Thank you all. Are you ready for the next 5 days? Let's go out. Let's talk to everybody. Let's make it happen. Thank you all, and God bless you.
all of the presidential candidates, the ones we could get tape of anyway, speaking today and taking care of business in New Hampshire. And Arnie Arneson, you mentioned the debate on Saturday. Organizations, how big a role, we talked about with caucus and their peculiar procedures. How much a role do organizations play in New Hampshire?
Well, organizations can be incredibly important here. Remember that we, too, have same-day registration. Iowa just embraced same-day registration. New Hampshire will, in fact, have same-day registration. We've had a campaign that we've seen in the state where they're trying to register to vote 10,000 single women. That's been going on for about a month and a half. But you have amazing organization on the part of the Clinton campaign, amazing organization on the part of Barack Obama's campaign. John McCain has spent so much time here. He's really sort of getting a resurgence, and Mitt Romney has been organized for over a year. So on an organizational level, they're probably, you know, meeting each other head to head at every single household. I think what's going to really be interesting is that New Hampshire is going to respond to what happened in Iowa. There is no question. New Hampshire wants change, too. Iowa helped to define change. I think New Hampshire will complete that sentence.
Let's see if we get one last caller in. This is Adam. Adam calling us from Plymouth in New Hampshire.
Yeah, hi.
Hi there.
I've been a Republican and just became disenchanted with the party. So I just re-registered as a Democrat, and I'm going to vote for Barack Obama just because he doesn't sound like a politician. And I know that other friends and family that are Republicans are planning on voting just because they're not sure what if they're going to vote Republican in the upcoming presidential election.
Don't you have to sign a piece of paper saying you're now a Democrat to vote for Barack Obama?
I did. I switched parties.
And Arnie Arneson, Adam certainly went ahead and did that. It's difficult for a lot of people to do that.
No. Actually, what happened is that in New Hampshire, if the largest representation in New Hampshire, 40% plus are in fact what's called undeclared. There are independents. An independent on election day has this incredible opportunity. They can make a decision the moment they walk in and say, I want a Republican ballot or I want a Democratic ballot. So they can exercise that option. Democrats obviously are stuck. They have to choose someone on the Democratic side. Republicans are stuck. They have to choose on the Republican side. But this is a day where people can walk in as an independent and go either way. And this is a day where people can actually register to vote and go in any direction they want. Lots of power, lots of opportunity. Opportunities, and the independents are smiling because they're looking at Iowa and saying, now I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Okay. Adam, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And finally, Arnie Arneson, of the people further down the ticket, again, there are going to be four Democrats on the debate. One of them is going to be Bill Richardson, Dennis Kucinich, Mike Gravel. There are other people down the ticket in both sides. Do any of them have a realistic chance?
No. They don't. I think Bill Richardson may be running for vice president. I think Bill Richardson had a strong campaign. But again, with the results coming out of Iowa, where he didn't even appear as a blip in Iowa, is doing tremendous damage to any kind of opportunity. And again, it sounds crazy, but people have been doing this, you know, picking presidential candidates for a long time in New Hampshire. And I think they know what their task is. And their task will really be looking at Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Edwards. And the question is, who can go beyond New Hampshire? Edwards is handicapped by money. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are not.
Arnie Arneson, thanks very much for your time today. And
you're welcome.
You're going to have a great 4 days, I think.
Oh, wild.
Arnie Arneson,
be jealous.
Host of the New Hampshire Radio Talk, New Hampshire Radio Talk program Chowder in the Morning, and the television program Political Chowder. And she joined us from the studios of New Hampshire Public Radio in Concord. Also, our thanks to Ken Rudin, NPR's political editor, who's been with us this hour. I'm Neil Conan. You've been listening to an NPR News special on the caucuses in Iowa.